The autonomous vehicle safety data is getting serious engagement, 360 points, 627 comments, and the IEEE Spectrum piece is presenting what it calls growing proof that self-driving cars save lives. The comment volume is the tell here. 627 comments means this is contested territory. The HN community includes people who work on autonomous vehicle systems, people who do traffic safety research, and people who are deeply skeptical of both the technology and how the safety claims are framed.
The central challenge with AV safety statistics is methodological. Waymo, the most data-rich operator, has released studies showing lower collision rates per mile than human drivers in comparable conditions. But comparable conditions is doing a lot of work in that sentence. AV deployments are concentrated in mapped urban environments during favorable weather on routes that have been extensively pre-surveyed. The question is whether the safety advantage holds as the operational domain expands.
And there's a survivor bias problem in the data. When an AV encounters a scenario it can't handle confidently, it often slows or stops rather than proceeding, which is safer in that moment, but removes that scenario from the collision statistics. A human driver who pushes through an ambiguous situation and succeeds doesn't end up in the data either way. What we're comparing may be the AV's conservative handling of uncertainty against the human driver's full distribution of behavior, including the risky parts.
The Windows XP user picture algorithm, 79 points, 32 comments, is the kind of computing history archaeology that HN does exceptionally well. The Old New Thing blog run by Raymond Chen at Microsoft has been publishing deep dive explanations of Windows internals for over two decades. The question of how Windows XP chose your initial avatar photo turns out to involve a scoring algorithm that evaluated image files based on properties like color diversity, face-like pixel distributions, and contrast ratios. It's a tiny piece of software history that reveals how much engineering thought went into things users experienced as passive and automatic.
Terence Tao's post on Mathstodden about adults forgetting childhood, 194 points, 144 comments, is philosophically rich in ways that don't fit neatly into a category. The quote, from Saint-Exupéry, becomes a lens for thinking about how adult cognition gradually loses access to the mode of understanding that made learning fundamental things possible. Tao, who is by any measure one of the most exceptional mathematicians alive, reflecting on what it means to remember learning, that's worth sitting with.
The streaming price inflation piece, the same 9 streaming subscriptions costing $702 per year more than in 2021, is striking arithmetic. 57 points, 44 comments. Over 5 years, that's a compounding price increase that significantly outpaces both inflation and wage growth for most consumers. What the data captures is the end of the subscriber acquisition phase and the beginning of the monetization phase. Services that burned cash to gain subscribers are now extracting from their installed base.
The I Think I Hate the Internet essay is getting 83 points and 64 comments, which is a signal that the sentiment resonates with the HN audience even though, or maybe because, HN is itself an internet community. The piece sounds like it's grappling with the gap between what the internet promised as an information and connection infrastructure and what it has become in terms of attention extraction, outrage optimization, and the degradation of discourse quality.
No Man's Sky Cosmos, 402 points, 408 comments. Hello Games continuing to release major free updates years after what was arguably one of the most disappointing launches in gaming history has become its own kind of story. The Cosmos update sounds like it's adding procedurally generated cosmological phenomena at scales the game hadn't previously addressed. The community around No Man's Sky has become a genuine cultural phenomenon, a group of players who found something worth returning to in a game the rest of the world wrote off.
And the larger Pacific Striped Octopus, 77 points, 41 comments, is a Wikipedia rabbit hole that ends up being genuinely scientifically interesting. This octopus species defies several standard octopus behavioral assumptions. It lives in social groups rather than alone, mates face-to-face rather than at arm's length, and females continue to eat during brooding rather than starving themselves as most octopuses do. It's a reminder that the natural world still contains creatures whose behavior requires updating our mental models of what's typical.
The relativity simulator, what if the speed of light was 5 kilometers per hour, is a physics education tool that I suspect is quietly one of the most effective things on this list. 380 points, 157 comments. Special relativity is conceptually brutal to internalize because its effects are invisible at human scales. Making the speed of light 5 kilometers per hour means a person walking at normal pace experiences time dilation, length contraction, and relativistic mass effects. Suddenly, abstract equations become viscerally imaginable.
Aardman selling its original movie puppets, the Wallace and Gromit ones. 56 points, 11 comments. This is the kind of cultural story that carries more weight than its comment count suggests. These are physically irreplaceable objects made by hand over decades of production. And the fact that they are being sold, rather than donated to a museum or kept in an archive, says something about the economics of even beloved creative institutions.
And the PlayStation to Xbox transfer of Kojima's Fizzent is only 17 points and 3 comments right now, but if confirmed, it's a genuinely significant gaming industry development. Hideo Kojima's projects have been PlayStation adjacent for a long time. Death Stranding had an exclusivity arrangement, and Fizzent was announced as a PlayStation title. Xbox stepping in if Sony cancels it would be a major roster addition for Microsoft's first-party lineup.
Before we close out this segment, I want to circle back on something we said earlier about autonomous vehicle safety, because I think it deserves a what if we're wrong? Look, we've both been somewhat skeptical about the AV safety claims, conditional on operational domain, survivor bias, all of that. But let me steelman the opposite position.
Please do. I think the skepticism is warranted, but it's not the whole picture.
The strongest version of the AV safety argument goes like this. Human drivers are impaired in ways that are wildly inconsistent: fatigue, distraction, intoxication, emotional states. A self-driving system might be worse than the best human driver in most conditions, but it's dramatically better than the distribution of actual human drivers, which includes people who are texting, drunk, or falling asleep at 3 in the morning on a highway. If you're comparing AVs to median or below median human performance rather than to expert human performance, the safety case gets substantially stronger.
And there's an argument about compounding improvements. Every mile driven by an AV generates training data that makes the next generation better. Human driving doesn't compound in the same way, an experienced human driver doesn't upload their knowledge to all other drivers. If AV systems are already competitive with human drivers on the metrics we have and they are improving at a steady rate, the projection forward looks compelling even if the current numbers are methodologically imperfect.
So what would we need to watch to know if the optimistic case is right? I'd look at two things. First, how do the safety statistics hold up as operational domains expand beyond San Francisco and Phoenix, specifically into suburban mixed traffic environments where edge cases are more frequent? Second, how do AV systems handle the first major bad weather deployment at scale? Cold weather, snow on lane markings, ice, that's the adversarial environment that hasn't been fully stress tested in real-world deployment data. If the safety numbers hold in those conditions, the case becomes substantially more convincing.
Agreed. The signal to watch isn't the controlled urban pilot data, it's the first winter season in a Midwest city with full commercial deployment.